Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
The longest offseason in Patriots football history is finally over. Training camp 2009 officially here. Day one of seven straight two-a-days is now in the books. I'm Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly. Paul Perillo, my esteemed colleague and editor, joins me here today for the first of what will be many Training Camp 2009 podcasts to cover training camp. Paul, we've had two practices already today.
Yeah.
Let me first, before I get your impressions from the entire day, let me just run down quickly from this most recent practice, the afternoon session, what was significant. We'll talk about who was there, who wasn't, and who's in limbo still.
But we got to talk about both practices, hi-ho, because we haven't done anything yet.
It's we do.
First podcast.
We do. I'm just trying to get – I'm so excited, Paul. The most recent practice is fresh in my mind. I can't wait to get to it.
We're freshly off the field.
And
that's really, I would think, part at least of the news of the day is, sort of the comings and goings, the attendance and,
right,
and who's not here. We should probably start official news.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots did make an official announcement of the five players that are going to open camp on PUP,
yep,
and two players – on the non-football injury list, the NFI. So the two players, everybody we pretty much knew because of previous reports.
Right.
It was Ty Warren and Sean Crable and Rich, mm-hmm, Hornberger and Daryl Richard and Mark LaVore on PUP.
Right.
Brandon Tate on NFI. The one addition, which we found out today, Sean Springs.
Right.
Not a good sign, mm-hmm, but at the same time, we don't really know exactly why he hasn't been out of practice, so we don't want to push the panic button quite yet, but he is not out at practice. He missed both sessions. All seven of those players were not present at either the morning or afternoon session.
That's right. And we couldn't have had two different sessions. The morning was overcast, humid. We had a thunderstorm that chased us off the field a little prematurely, about 15 minutes before the end. Teddy Bruschi led that charge to get off the field when the thunderclap and the lightning came.
It was like Braveheart.
It really was.
He had one arm raised over his head. It was like, freedom! Mm-hmm. And he just started running.
Right.
And everybody followed him. It's a good thing Belichick didn't decide, hey, where are you going? I didn't dismiss you.
And Foxborough was deluged with rain. We came inside. We did our interviews with the players and with Bill. We had our radio show. We did a little bit of writing. We went back out onto the field. And it was
It did it all over again
under bright blue skies, still warm and humid temperatures, but completely.
It was like two totally different days, though.
Two different days. And some of the guys who were missing from the morning practice, who other than the list you just went over, were out there in the afternoon and
all
vice
three.
Versa.
All three. There was three players missing in the morning. And for those of you that you're listening now, you already read the morning updates and whatnot. Randy Moss, Joey Galloway, Jarvis Green,
mm-hmm,
missed the morning practice for unknown reasons. They weren't on a list. Well, all three of those players were present and accounted for the afternoon session. However, there was a pretty substantial list of players that were in uniform in the morning and weren't in the afternoon. Eric, why don't you run those down?
And one of those was the guy from Braveheart that you mentioned, Teddy Bruschi.
That's right.
Richard Seymour, Matt Light, so some starters, Stephen Neal, and a couple of backups here, Al Johnson, the offensive lineman, veteran free agent, and Ryan O'Callaghan. So 2, 4, 6 guys who weren't on lists were not in practice in uniform out there this afternoon. But I don't know if we can read too much into that after one day of practice.
No, especially in light of the fact that you had three guys miss the morning practice and immediately get back out there for the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering maybe if particularly with guys like Light and Seymour and Neal, maybe if there were, Bruschi, certainly some veteran sort of monitoring,
mm-hmm,
maintenance.
Right.
A little upkeep there. We don't know that for certain. We don't have any access to Bill or players after the second practice. So those are going to have to be left uncertain as we we head into day two.
I would say the consensus among all of us who follow this team closely, Paul, is that the three biggest stories going into this Patriots training camp are, in no particular order, Tom Brady's return, the situation at outside linebacker and perhaps linebacker in general, and the defensive back situation, particularly at corner.
I would agree.
What were your first impressions of any of those three? Pick whichever one you thought was the most impressive in your mind, or if there was something else, your general thoughts from day one of camp.
Clearly the most important thing is Brady, but I almost would put that at number three in terms of your little game here, only because I have long since come to grips with the fact that Tom's going to be okay physically, and it's only a matter of watching him in physical conditions, and that can't really happen really until the preseason if he might get sacked in the game or in the regular season. So he looked, to me, Tom looked like Tom. He was dead. I thought he was better in the afternoon, but that's to be understandable.
Sure, wasn't a wet ball.
Considering the weather.
Slippery conditions.
I thought he threw some terrific passes this afternoon. But the thing that stuck out to me, Eric, was the cornerback situation, and I saw what I think is some promising depth at the position with Lee Bodden. Jonathan Wilhite made some terrific plays this morning. Terrence Wheatley was out there running reps with those guys. My guy, Darius Butler, was taking some reps, the rookie, with that group. The only negative there is Springs. We don't know his health situation, but I thought Bodden made some terrific plays. I thought those guys looked active. They were around the football, and even on a an attempted trick play right at the start of the team period today, Brandon Merriweather was right in position to make a play. So I thought the secondary in general looked rather cohesive, and that's a good sign based on the troubles that that group had last year.
The thing that stood out in my mind today from both practices was that Adalys Thomas looked like the Adalys Thomas we thought we were getting when we signed him in 2007.
He was immense.
He was unstoppable, unblockable, was running all over the field, making plays. He looked excited. He looked healthy. He looked ready for the training camp.
I would wholeheartedly agree. I had him as my who's hot this morning, and I probably could have used him again this afternoon if I wanted to. I'll go in another direction, but I just thought that he doing 9-on-7 stuff. The thing that stuck out to me with him, Eric, is they were working a lot of running game this morning with 9-on-7s, and he was, as you said, unblockable, coming off the edge, making plays, burying Sammy Morris at one point with a big shoulder, and then in the afternoon, it was a lot more 7-on-7s and in passing game work. And again, he's in passing lanes, his hands in the way of a couple of attempted seam routes to tight ends and stuff. Just active and the guy that we all thought, the playmaking kind of guy that we all thought. Now, it's one day, it's one practice. We don't want to get lost. He certainly looked like this in practice in 07. So we'll have to wait and see how that all unfolds.
What about Pierre Woods and the committee of outside linebackers on the other side? Obviously, Crable wasn't in attendance. He's on PUP currently. But Woods, Red,
Bantakane.
Any thoughts on what you saw from that group?
Not really. It was kind of hard to see. And I know they did some rotating, and in the morning they even worked on some four-man lines, and Bantakane was kind of serving as a D-end, I thought, in some of those, which is the spot he played in college. But kind of too early to tell there. And, we have to see some more live reps, I think, and see who might have an inside track. And I also want to see everybody healthy. You know, it's kind of hard to speculate as to who's in there only because so-and-so's not in there, and then who was in there because they've sort of passed someone by. You know, in the afternoon you mentioned that Teddy Bruschi, Braveheart, wasn't out there. Gary Guyton was lining up a lot next to Gerard Mayo on the inside when they were in 3-4s. So some interesting, I think, player personnel groupings and whatnot.
And we might have been seeing a lot of scout teamwork on the defense versus the offense. But we did see a lot of four-man fronts.
Saw a lot of everything.
That's why a lot of things.
And I don't want to get into, first of all, the Patriots specifically ask us not to get into depth chart speculations and stuff like that. But there were a lot of different personnel groupings going in and out and whatnot. So we'll try to stay away from that, the specifics of all of those.
Sure,
if for no other reason than to keep ourselves out of trouble.
We talked a little bit about who was hot earlier. Consensus, Adalys Thomas. Who did you think might have had a little bit of a slow start to training camp?
Well, I thought physically on the field, Kevin O'Connell, I don't think, was quite as sharp today as we saw him certainly at the end of the spring in OTAs. I thought he threw the ball much better today. I thought he looked a little indecisive with some of his reads, and some of his throws were off target. Mm-hmm. And I think he still struggles a little bit with his accuracy on shorter passes, you know, inside 15 yards. But, again, one practice. I'm not going to overreact. It's just, right. you know, we try to make this as fun as we can for the for our listeners.
It's
and
a running
fans.
Commentary, these practices.
It's who's hot, who's not, you know, something that stuck out to us. And if you ask me what stuck out to me today, I didn't think Kevin O'Connell was quite as sharp as I had
believe
seen
him. I believe he gave
the
up the pick to Will Height in the morning
he did.
Session.
He did.
And you know what? Sometimes this happens a lot in training camp. We have a guy who's not hot one afternoon and is hot the next morning, or vice versa.
Now, hopefully so that'll happen.
Hopefully that'll happen with O'Connell.
O'Connell.
We love Kevin O'Connell. One other thing I wanted to note, rookie Brian Hoyer looks like he can throw the football.
Yeah, he doesn't have the strongest arm of the four. I mean, clearly, you know, he's a guy who relies on accuracy and reads and whatnot. But and Andy made the comment on PFW in Progress, Eric, probably when you were still working, little Chad Pennington to him. You know, looks like the ball gets, mm-hmm. you know, just gets there, but it gets there. And it usually is on target, on time. Mm-hmm. And, again, he's not going to break any brick walls with some of those throws, but he looks like a guy that knows what he's doing.
Well, Paul, like we said at the top, day one of seven straight scheduled days.
Yeah, and Bill talked about that a little bit. I know we're wrapping up, but you know, Bill talked about how the need for different things, and each year provides different. He thinks that they needed this sort of schedule to start it off. That's what he's going to go with to open up camp, seven straight days of double sessions, and I'm sure we'll see guys coming in and out of practice like they did today throughout this first week.
If you haven't already done so, log on to Patriots.com to check out our camp updates. There's also a link to the PFW blog where you can get even more in-depth analysis of what we saw at practice. We're going to be here every day throughout training camp, but we'll see you back here on this podcast 24 hours from now with a recap of day two, morning and afternoon sessions. Until then, enjoy football season. It's back.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.